Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are exploring the things we know about Colossae, and more especially the church at Colossae, as we are making our way into the Colossian epistle. We've already examined the author, Paul, and co-author, Timothy, and now we turn our attention to the recipients, namely the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. And we know that the Colossian church is one of the few that are mentioned in the New Testament, and certainly the few that receive epistles from the Apostle Paul that were not founded by Paul. Most of the others were. There is one other exception that comes to my mind, but Colossae is not a church founded by Paul. It evidently was founded by Epaphras. We read about him in verse 7. Speaking about the gospel, Paul says, "As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf." And Epaphras was a citizen of Colossae, a resident of Colossae, and a member of this church, according to chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras was someone who traveled a lot, according to chapter 4, verse 12, and carried a burden for the gospel in neighboring cities, according to chapter 4 and verse 13. And so it's very almost certain that he was the evangelist who brought the message back to his hometown of Colossae and was used by God the Holy Spirit to point men and women successfully to the Lord Jesus Christ and to found the church in Colossae. All of the evidence would suggest that Epaphras was saved and trained in the city of Ephesus by the Apostle Paul. We'll learn a little bit more about the congregation known as the Church at Colossae after I greet you on this Thursday, September 10, and remind you that we depend upon the financial gifts of you, our radio listeners, to continue this broadcast. Well, what do we know about the Colossian Church? We know that they were a solid congregation with good, solid instruction in the Word of God. Paul says in chapter 2, verse 7, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught." They had been well taught. Those words make that very clear. We also learn in chapter 4, verse 17, that their primary pastor was a man named Archippus. "Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it." Archippus, from the intimations of Philemon, verse 2, was apparently the son of Philemon, a prominent citizen in Colossae, a prominent member of the Colossian congregation. Also, we know this about the Colossian church and epistle, namely that the epistle from Paul was carried to Colossae by Tychicus, who was also accompanied by Onesimus, and that figures very prominently into this epistle, and even more prominently into the Philemon epistle. There are a lot of similarities between the contents of Paul's epistle to Colossae and his epistle to the Ephesians. Of course, Ephesus, in a real sense, was the mother church of Colossae. Paul was teaching in Ephesus when the church in Colossae was founded. And there were a lot of the same people involved traveling back and forth between these two cities about 110 miles apart. And so you'll find relationships between Ephesus and Colossae, and therefore between the epistle to the Ephesians and the epistle to the Colossians, and you'll find a lot of connections between the Colossian epistle and the Philemon epistle, since Philemon was a member of the church at Colossae. Well, what was it that caused Paul to write this epistle to Colossae? Of course, ultimately, it was the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God, but generally, we find in every epistle of Paul some intimation of what it was that prompted his writing, some concern that comes out in the body of the letter. And what prompted this concern seems to be a report that came to Paul in Rome from Epaphras, the evangelist who founded the church there. And apparently, it was a concern regarding false teachers, who are referred to rather prominently in chapter 2. Because of false teachers in the city of Colossae that were trying to target members of the church at Colossae, Paul wrote to strengthen them and to warn them and to fortify them against these false teachers. Furthermore, they were apparently being attracted to various Jewish ceremonies and religious duties, and Paul addresses that in chapter 2, verses 11 and 16, along with his warning not to get swept into the worship of angels, chapter 2, verse 18, or to be caught up in the practices of asceticism in verses 21 through 23 of chapter 2. Asceticism is extreme denial of the body, not eating appropriately and so forth as a way of increasing godliness. And Paul makes it very clear in the Colossian epistle that this does nothing to increase godliness. I say that repeatedly because I know that there are some listeners who really think it does, just like there were some in the city of Colossae who thought so. And so we'll get to that in due time. The people that Paul writes to are addressed in verse 2 as the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. And here we have a fourfold description of those to whom Paul writes. Number one, he calls them saints. That's a common New Testament designation for Christians. Saints. The word means holy ones or separate ones. When this word is applied to God, it means that God is holy, pure, and undefiled. When it is applied to men, as it is here, the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are Colossae, it means those men, and of course I mean by that human beings, men and women, boys and girls, who are set apart to God, justified by God, and have been made holy like God by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the work of the Holy Spirit within them. Saints are those, or we could call them holy ones, saints are those who are separated from sin unto God. Saints are those who are consecrated to God. The word saint is used in the New Testament 40 times in the plural, and only one time in the singular, and you'll find that in Philippians 4:21, and if you'll check that reference, you'll see that even there, it has what I would call a plural connotation, which leads me to believe that the term saint should always be plural. The New Testament talks about saints. It doesn't talk about a saint. Now, certain segments of Christianity have inherited a tradition of calling lots of people saint. Saint Christopher, I guess he's no longer considered a saint. Saint Mary, Saint Francis, Saint so-and-so, all kinds of saints. And even in your New Testament, you will read things like the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the Gospel according to St. Mark. These are traditional designations that have become very deeply ingrained in the traditions, the Christian traditions of certain segments of Christianity, but this is not good biblical usage. The Bible doesn't talk about a saint, though I suppose it would not be inaccurate to say that I am a saint, because all born-again believers are saints, and we find that Paul is writing here to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, and if all of the members of the church, true members of the church, were saints, then each one individually would logically be a saint. But my point is that the Bible doesn't use that terminology. Whenever it uses a terminology, saint, it always does so in the plural. It always thinks in terms of a group. In other words, a set-apart body. Not so much individual saints, individual believers, but a body of believers, the local church. That's the emphasis, that's the point. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints, plural, and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. The very use of that term, saints, in the plural, is a reinforcement of the importance of the church and of each Christian's membership in the church, his relationship to other Christians, other saints in the church, and how important that relationship is. Our Christianity is not to be lived out independently and in isolation, but rather is to be lived out in connection with others of like precious faith as the people of God join together in local congregations. We are truly all members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which there's only one true church, but all of us work out, live out our Christianity on the practical level in local churches that are found in particular geographical locations. And that's why Paul writes to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. He's writing to the church that is located in the city of Colossae, which is different from the church that is located in Laodicea, which is different from the church that is located in Philippi or in Macedonia, in Thessalonica. Actually, Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea were all in the territory of Macedonia. And that territory contained several churches, plural, not just the church of Macedonia, but the churches of Macedonia and the churches of Galatia. We often talk about the church of Galatia in that kind of language, the church in America. But the Bible really doesn't use that kind of language. The only time it talks about church in the singular, the church is talking about one church that encompasses all believers in all locations, not in one particular country. And when it talks about the Church of America, it actually talks about the churches. I mean, the Bible doesn't use the term America, of course, but it doesn't talk about the Church of Galatia. It talks about the churches of Galatia. And here we're obviously reading about the church in Colossae, even though the term church isn't used. But the concept is there, and it's to the saints. And that's almost saying the same thing, the saints who are in Colossae. We'll take it up, Lord willing, tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.